Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. Here we are, early May, May 3rd. Hello, everybody. Sam McEwen along with Evan Bland, the Silver Tongue, and Tom Chattel, our resident columnist, who wrote a really good column on the transfer portal over the weekend. We're going to talk transfer portal. By God, we got to, because there's a lot going on there with Nebraska football, a lot going on just generally in college football. One of Nebraska's first two opponents next year, apparently just overhauling the entire football roster. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're talking a little NIL and just kind of where things are at. And I think, what are we now? Are we 2 years into this?
This summer.
This summer will be 2 years in, just talking about where Nebraska is positioned in terms of NIL. Tom had a column, good column, a couple weeks ago about some of that stuff and just, you know, where Nebraska's positioned as they go into what you would call, again, kind of recruiting season. We'll do a little bit of recruiting. We'll also talk hoops. They have two new additions to the team. And then a little baseball at the end, where Nebraska baseball has a chance to both, like, win the league but also not finish in the top eight. Like, that, both things are possible.
They're within 2.5 games of first or missing the Big Ten tournament.
Wow. So, you know, that's how jumbled it is in the Big Ten, which might only be a couple of bid league, to be honest with you. Maybe a two-bid league this year. I want to remind everybody to subscribe to the Omaha World Herald. We have one, 26 weeks for $1. That's basically 6 months. If you were to go right now, so it would be May 3rd all the way to November 3rd, you would get pretty much, you'd get about two-thirds of the season right there. You know, it'd be pretty good stuff. Get all the recruiting, all the preseason football stuff, all the Matt Rhule in Indianapolis. Can't wait for that. Matt Rhule on the turf. I think he'll do a better job than Scott Frost. I think he will. All the preseason hoop stuff, that'll be right up to the tip-off of the season. This is a good time to sign up for the Omaha World Herald. You go to www.omaha.com/subscribe, www.omaha.com/subscribe. All right, let's start with this. Tom, really good column. You've had a couple good industry columns, I would say. Like, just like one about NIL and where that is, and you talked to Blake Lawrence. This was a couple of weeks ago now. But I really like the transfer portal column over the weekend. It wasn't specifically only about Nebraska. It was sort of with Casey. But you mentioned Ryan Nemhart at Creighton and a few other things too. But I just like the way that you kind of summarized it. You kind of put your own kid's situation in there. You got one in college, another one's going to be going to college. So you have a perspective of a parent. Certainly when Casey hit the portal on Friday, it was sort of big news. It just feels like college athletics is so different than even it was like 5 years ago.
Oh, totally. But I think we've all adjusted. The media's adjusted. The fans have adjusted. I think there was a day when guy like the starting quarterback left, there'd be all kind of fire alarms going off and people calling for people to be fired and what in the hell is going on around here, all that stuff. I don't think it really surprised anybody Friday when he went in the portal. People have already, think about quarterbacks, people always love the next guy. And they love Jeff Sims. They've seen him play once, and he's the new shiny toy. Okay, you know. But I think they'd love to have Casey back. But is anybody surprised that? And same with the running back who left,
AJ Allen.
He's never been out there to really show that he's the guy. But this is what I said. What would have happened in the 90s when the roster was backed up like L.A. traffic with great players, quarterbacks and running backs? Those guys are type A's and want to play. Well, we see now, they leave.
Right.
Back then they couldn't. Well, they could, but they didn't. You wouldn't leave. It was sort of a badge of honor, sort of, or maybe like sort of a manhood thing. If you left, you quit. Plus, you also had to sit out a year. Nobody wanted to do that, although they were sitting out a year at Nebraska waiting their turn. I just think it's the way it's always been, but now they have an outlet. So these are not surprises. The coaches were spoiled for years. Now they either have to adjust and you gotta play the game, or you can retire, because it ain't gonna go away.
And a few have.
Absolutely.
I think Jay Wright's retirement was related.
Absolutely.
To that.
Absolutely. And but the Greg McDermott, the Fred Hoiberg, was doing this before anybody. So and everybody else caught up. So the college athletics world caught up, but he was getting transfers and making those guys adjust and fitting them in before anybody. So I don't know, guys. It's I don't mean to say it's no big deal, but it's not surprising anymore. It's just part of the game. And when these things come up, you know, you can say, "Oh, this is terrible," or, "Well, who's next?" And that's kind of the way you have to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, Nebraska, this is interesting. I just looked at it from a pure NFL draft perspective, Evan. I think Nebraska has had a single play. Well, I'm sorry, two that have transferred out that became NFL draft picks. Do you know who they are? One's obvious. In the last 5 years.
Tell me.
Wandale.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Wandale Robinson.
Yeah.
And then just over the weekend, Jordan Riley.
You're right.
Yep. I think he was picked in the seventh round.
Mm-hmm.
Surprising to me. Based on what he did at Nebraska, that I mean, he was hurt a lot, and so there was some, you know, whatever. But they have had more guys drafted who transferred in. I think that Nebraska's got a net advantage in the portal so far. If you're just looking at the portal era, if you're looking at guys who left here, a lot of them left here, and they didn't necessarily go set the world on fire somewhere else. I'm actually going to make a ranking of all the guys that left here. Wandale's at the top of the list, and that was a great player. And he is, you know, he's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
Who's second? Like, I don't know. Like, it's hard to say who's the second best guy to transfer out. But then when you flip it, you look at the guys that Nebraska's brought in. Well, you know, last 2 years, they've had three guys get selected in the NFL draft. Samari Toure, Trey Palmer, and O'Shawn Mathis.
Yeah.
They've already overcompensated.
Yeah.
And then you think about, okay, well, they got Tanner Lee as a quarterback. Then they got Casey Thompson as a quarterback.
Right.
You know, they're basically their entire, and we'll talk a little bit about this in a minute, the wide receiver core, I think 2 of 21, get this, 2 of 21 receivers that they have recruited from high school stayed for like the entirety of their career.
Wow.
Now that doesn't include Wandale. And Wandale was good here. I mean, you don't blame, you know, you don't regret having him here. But like one of the two is Xavier Betts. Like every guy from last year, the 22 class is gone. Every guy from 21 is gone. Like they haven't had that many players who, you know, have gone on to do these huge things. And so like as I think about the portal, it's hard for me to view it with much, oh my goodness, because at the end of the day, I think Nebraska benefits every single year from its existence.
Hmm.
I think they got more players who will contribute, and maybe this is a marker of why Nebraska's struggling. They've gotten more players who will contribute here than they've lost players who have contributed mightily elsewhere. And one of the first, and you know, Tom mentioned Casey Thompson. I was not surprised. You know that I...
Yeah, we've talked about this.
I felt like Casey Thompson was going to leave. It's a tough departure. It hurts their depth. The one that I feel was a little that smarted me a little bit more was Torres, because I think there's a chance he's going to go somewhere and be a pretty good football player. And now all of a sudden, you know, as Nebraska looks at its quarterback room, it's got Jeff. It's got Harburg, and then it's got whoever it recruits after that. Because even though Chubb is there, Chubb is like a fourth-year
sophomore.
Sophomore. Yeah, I mean, he's junior. Not going to play for 7 years. So you have to just kind of think of it as you got this guy here, and then you got Harburg, and then you got whoever you're going to recruit after that. And Torres, to me, would have been that guy. So anyway, the portal, to me, has been a benefit to Nebraska.
Hmm.
Like, I don't think it's hurt. It did surprise me a little bit that A.J. Allen left, but then I thought about the fumbles he had in the scrimmage. And the guy that brought him here, he wasn't committed to Nebraska before Brian Applewhite lured him here, and then Applewhite's not here anymore. So it kind of made sense that he left.
See, it's funny, the two perspectives that you guys have on that. The one that sticks with me is like, and I think maybe this is the one the fans would relate to a little bit more, is it's hard to get to know guys. I mean, they're here for a year. Somebody commits. You do the feature, and you learn their story and where they fit into the roster and the pecking order of things, and then they're just gone.
Right.
And you reset that again. Like, you don't. There's no chance over 3 or 4 years to see a guy grow up anymore. You know, either they come in after they've already gone through that, and you kind of catch up with that, or they're here for a year and you forget about them. So I think that's the part that's tricky to me. And like, I suppose when I think about Casey Thompson's, I feel like having talked with him and his family a year ago for that feature, maybe in some ways sort of blinded me a little bit to this idea that he would move on and that he was objective about.
'Cause you knew him pretty well.
Yeah, I've chatted with him a number of times. Yeah. And I just, my thought with him was, if he was going to leave, it would have been in the winter, because what did he know in late April that he didn't know in December or January? He knew he was going to be out. He knew that they had a hand-picked quarterback who was going to come in and have that. So what really did he learn at Nebraska over that time that he couldn't have just done somewhere else? If he was going to go to Auburn, why not go in January?
You know what he learned?
What did he learn?
The market's a lot hotter in May. This is what we learned. Part of what we learned is, and this may only be true for quarterback and a few other positions, but once you get on the other side of spring, and you saw Alabama do this, Alabama went out and got Tyler Buchner. And Tyler Buchner is not. I'll take Jeff Sims over Tyler Buchner any day of the week and three times on Sunday. Alabama goes through its spring camp, and they're like, holy crap, we don't have a guy. We just went from Bryce Young to we don't have a guy. Like, we have a 7-win quarterback. And so all of a sudden now Tyler Buchner, who's the number 2 quarterback at Notre Dame, he's a runner. I mean, he's kind of a Jalen Hurts-esque. And that's not even a fair comparison. He's a guy that runs, just kind of like Hurts did. And so he's going there, and I think what became clear is that the market's going to be really good. And the other thing is, too, that Nebraska, I think, made it clear when they added Jeff Sims, what were they doing? They were adding a guy to come in and compete with Casey. And if he's your guy, then invariably you have to be like, well, they added that guy. But I think the marker for Casey's going to be pretty good. I think he could go to Indiana, Northwestern, Rutgers, Auburn. And I don't know how many whatever you want to call it. He was certainly better than the guy that just transferred out of Auburn. Finley is not. I mean, he's basically just a tight end playing quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. The market got good, and now he could go a lot of places and probably make pretty decent money.
I saw he's visiting Auburn. I bet that's where he ends up.
It's a good school.
You know, and, well, they're going to have money. And but look, this thing happens all the time when there's a new coach. They bring in the guy. They don't know the quarterback's a spot where if you're a head coach, you really want to trust that guy. You want to know him, and they had a guy they liked better, or they liked as much or better, brought him in. It happens all the time. So, and plus, that quarterback room was really backed up. You know, you talk about the Torres kid. You know, Scott Frost, for a while, Martinez didn't have anybody behind him. Then so they brought in all these guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chuba and Smothers and Torres, and then they had to have a starter, and they brought in Casey. Well, then you bring in add in the COVID situation, which is still a factor.
Yeah,
and it just gets too backed up. Somebody has to go, and this is what happened. You lose two, everybody moves on. It's the way of the world now. I don't think Husker fans blink. I think that they're ready to move on with whoever. And keep in mind, this is year one. The rule project, and you know, it's not going to be perfect, and hopefully it'll be better. But you know what I'm curious to see is, you know, how fast it takes him to build his program. You know, the quote unquote culture. That's one thing McDermott does so well. He built the culture. The portal came into it after he'd already built it. He was able to go out and pick and choose guys who fit. And I think Rule will do the same thing once it's established. this is how we're going to play, this is who we're going to be, then you can go find a guy and he fits right in immediately. The question for Rhule is, he's going to develop guys. Are those guys going to leave? You bet some of them will because they want to play. So it's no country for guys like Rhule anymore, where you used to develop and stay 3 or 4 years. And that's what he's trying to bring back to Nebraska. It's a hard time to do it, but it can be done. But you got to find the guys who want to be there, who want to be coached by you, who aren't just trying to, you know, come in and come out. So that'll take a couple of years to get those guys on the roster. In the meantime, winning helps.
Yeah, it does. A thought that I had is that you're right about that, that there are kids there who are like, I don't want to wait. I want to get out of here. I want to transfer. But what if the kid who commits to Nebraska is Bryce Turner? Now, Bryce Turner is a three-star receiver. But he didn't play very much football. And I talked to him for the story I'm going to write for Sunday. And, you know, he's really honest. He's like, well, yeah, I'm really fast. I need to learn how to catch the ball. I need to work on my route running. If Bryce Turner transfers from Nebraska in 2 years, I'm not sure he's going, like, because he's not a five-star. And so there's this part of me that thinks that part of what Matt Rhule is going to do is say, well, I took a chance on you. And this is where you need to think about that. And this is why this is the place for you. Because if you go into the portal, Victor Jones, I think Victor Jones was going into the portal anyway. But, you know, Victor Jones landed at Liberty. Where'd Kamonte Grimes go? I can't remember. Didn't he land somewhere? Because he left.
Florida International, something like that. Yeah, I'm not sure. Let me look.
And then, you know, Sean Hardy, where's he going? I don't know. They never played.
No.
I feel like Kamani Grimes transferred somewhere. He signed somewhere.
Northern Iowa.
There you go. And so I think the best receiver other than Wandale to transfer out, and there's 20 of them. The best one was Justin McGriff, who went to Utah State. So it's Wandale and then Justin McGriff. And he was in the draft. I don't think he got picked. I have to see if he signed a free agent deal somewhere. But between Wandale and everyone else, that was the one.
Your question about who would be the second most productive player to lease. Like, I keep a list of all the guys that transfer out, and oh my goodness gracious,
it might be Luke McCaffrey as a receiver at Rice.
Maybe Casey Rogers was pretty good at Oregon last year. Jordan Riley got drafted, like you said. It may end up being Ernest Hausman someday.
It'll be Ernest Hausman.
But my goodness.
That's true. That's one hard. That stung.
Yes.
Now, Hausman stung. Definitely, definitely. He should have stuck it out. I don't say that lightly either. Like, that he could have transferred to Michigan this week. Would have stuck it out for one more spring. I just would have seen what they had. Because I think what they would have had for him here would have been pretty interesting.
Mm.
I think he would have liked the guy that he was going to play for. I think he would have liked what they had together. I don't think Matt Rhule had time to figure it out, because I do think that would have been and then if he had wanted to go to Michigan, well, he could have just gone to Michigan this week, because Michigan would have taken him either way. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. On the wide receiver thing again, so I'm going to write a story for Sunday about the wideouts. Every single receiver has basically transferred out who could. And so what is left, I think, at Nebraska, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is four transfers and Xavier Betts. And maybe Ty Hahn. I don't know if Ty Hahn's on scholarship or not. But the four transfers are Billy Kemp, Marcus Washington, Joshua Fleeks,
Isaiah Garcia Castaneda,
and Betts. And then six guys that are coming in.
As true freshmen.
I don't know if there's a bigger picture to, like, what in the world's been going on here for the last 5 years than that. The only scholarship receiver they have who's, like, been a high school recruit, unless Ty Hahn's on scholarship, and I need to ask, is a guy that left the program last year and was coaxed back. And we're not sure, you know, what he's going to do. Like,
and incidentally, if you're going to revamp any position right now out of the portal, it would be receiver,
yeah,
given the talents that's out there. It's not quarterback, not really. It's not the line. Those are gold in the portal. It's probably receiver.
Yeah. That's why I think you can make the argument that Billy Kemp is the biggest addition, even bigger than Sims.
Mm.
Because you got to have people to throw to, and I think he's going to be their best receiver by some margin. So we shall see.
One more thing about that roster. I think the backup quarterback is going to be so important next year. Mm-hmm. I think that they did not show an aspect of the offense that is going to show up at Minnesota on August 31st. That's the quarterback run game. I think they're going to use that, maybe not as a staple, but it's going to be part of the offense. And, you know, you're not saying Sims will get hurt, but in the Big Ten, where a quarterback run game can be very effective, but you are going to get knocked around a little bit.
Yes.
And I think that's the backup could Smothers, who would be perfect in that, could he possibly come back if there's no market for him at a place he wants to be? You know, knowing that this is what they're going to do. It's Chuba. I think he could fit into that deal. So I'm thinking the backup should not be something that guys like me to toss aside like it's no big deal. Right. I think it's going to be a big deal. I'm not saying Sims will get hurt, but I think the quarterback run game is going to be there, and they didn't show it for obvious reasons in the spring. But I think it's a good idea. It's what these guys have always wanted to do since they got here, and I think we're going to see it.
That's a great point. I think both the guys that they have as backups right now, I don't know where they could transfer. Maybe Harbor could go to a P5 school. I don't think Chuba could, not as a starter. He might be able to get a backup role, but you know, he's been banged up a lot. Now, what do you think Smothers? He posted something on Monday that made me kind of think, well, he's probably good.
There's some finality to it, yeah. That's okay. What I would say, too. Okay. You never know. I mean, never say never.
I don't know what options he will have. I mean, I'm thinking maybe G5 starter, maybe.
It'll be interesting for him because he committed. FCS like, starter? If you think about his process with Nebraska, like he committed way early and shut down his process very early on in that thing. So, like, he's been affiliated with Nebraska for, like, 5 years already. I mean, it's possible. I know he loves this place. A lot of people would have thought maybe he would have left a year ago, and he stuck it out.
They got him on film against Iowa 2 years ago. It's got to be a Big Ten coach who saw that. And that Big Ten coach who needs a guy.
Yeah, maybe a backup.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Probably.
That's possible. You know, the teams that need quarterbacks in the Big Ten, and we'll write something on this in a couple of weeks. Northwestern still needs one. Somehow they added two transfer defensive linemen. I'm guessing Fitz finally went into the office and said, I'm going to quit if you don't let me bring some transfers in. Indiana needs one, and then Rutgers. Rutgers has no one. You know who Rutgers' starting quarterback is probably going to be? Who? The guy that threw three interceptions in the second half of that game. They have no one else. Noah Vedral's gone after his ninth year. Their starter is the guy that like blew the Nebraska game. Like, they don't have anybody. So maybe Logan could go play there. I don't know. That's a good point about Logan, though. He would have been a good guy to do that with. At one time, man, before he was hurt, I thought he was going to be pretty sweet. But he's been hurt a lot. He's had two or three pretty significant injuries.
Yeah.
And that set him back quite a ways. Let's move to NIL for a second. You know, Nebraska's we've done this now. Evan, you've written more about NIL at Nebraska than anyone else. I feel like you know it better than everyone else. We're now kind of into what we would call the third year of that. NIL started July 1st, 2021, but Nebraska had put in the infrastructure for its NIL operation basically in spring of 2020. And obviously nothing really happened in 2020 because of COVID, but they had a pretty good idea going into the summer of 2021 exactly what they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
As you look at where the landscape is right now, where is Nebraska positioned? So I'm going to ask Tom about this too because he's delved more into this recently as well. Where do you think Nebraska's landscape is right now?
It's hard, man. It's hard to say because you talk to people affiliated with the operation and they would tell you. Everyone's trying to find that little inefficiency, right? That little area that you can have an edge in. And I think Nebraska's to this point. I mean, they've involved the business college, they've involved students and different things. And so I think, you know, that's kind of their thing is education and setting guys up long term, providing financial literacy. But it's, you know, it's all private information, right? Like we don't know what players are making. We don't know what donors or collectives are paying because it's all third party private stuff. And so a lot of it's word of mouth. I know I always think of what Casey Thompson said last spring, which was if you're a starter at Nebraska, you can make six figures. And I think we've seen examples of where they...
Which he did.
Yeah. Sure. I don't know if that's true for every Nebraska starter. Probably not.
Well, it's true for every Creighton starter.
Sure. Let me interject here. I want to go to Tom here because Please. You made the comment about Casey Thompson. Another thing that Casey said last year is that Nebraska's NIL was in better position than Texas.
He did.
Is that still true?
I'm sorry, what?
Is Nebraska's NIL anywhere near what Texas can produce at this point?
No way. What Blake Lawrence told me, and he doesn't speak in too many specifics, but he knows everything about everybody that their company works with, which is pretty much everybody. He said Nebraska fans should know that their program is in a great spot, but they would be shocked to know what other people are doing, and it can always be better. So what he's saying is they're in a very good spot, but they're not what others are. And that basically they need to give more. That's what he's saying is, it's like the preacher at church, you need to give more. What you did is good, but it's not enough. And I don't know, it's I go back to last fall. I know a group of Nebraska boosters in West Omaha who formed a group for Scott Frost. And they were going to have it was basically going to be NIL based. They're going to meet once a month at Shadow Ridge, and they were going to bring in Frost and a few coaches, and maybe a Casey Thompson, Trey Palmer, those type of guys would come speak once a month. And the entry fee to this group was $5,000, and they got 75 guys. They sold it out. So 75 guys all paid $5,000 to be part of this group to meet once a month. That's a little piece of what is out there, what's available. And apparently, there were several groups like this in Omaha and also Lincoln. So the average Husker fan who's got money, who's in a company, who might be a CEO or whatever, they're all throwing money at Trev Alberts, too. And that's another thing, how much money that is going over here. Those guys are eager to help. If they get something in return, sometimes they don't have that in return. But so it's out there. You know, there's a nice little rumor out there that Nebraska volleyball players are getting more than the men's basketball players. So I certainly believe that. I don't think they Nebraska doesn't care enough about men's basketball to do that right. I do not trust Nebraska to do that until they prove me otherwise. Do they care about volleyball? Do they care about men's basketball? I mentioned it, but they have been getting a couple transfers in. Hoiberg has, so maybe that's changing a little bit. Maybe 1890 is changing that a little bit.
Perhaps.
We'll see. Yeah. But it needs to change a lot if they're going to get better. They're going to get players in. So, I don't know, Evan. It's a wonderful, wide world out there. We don't know how much and who, all that stuff. But, you know, we assume that the Caseys and the Trey Palmers are getting well taken care of.
You know, so Nebraska hired basically, they took what had already been true and they put a title behind Bateman getting that role at Nebraska, sort of an NIL general manager, so to speak. He's from compliance.
Liaison, yeah.
Yeah, so anytime you're bringing somebody in from compliance, what you're trying to make sure is you're keeping the kids whole and you're keeping them keeping them in a good spot, not you know, messing with their eligibility, helping them navigate. You're not necessarily, that person isn't necessarily like your salesman per se. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, right.
Like that's not the NIL, you know, arm that's like,
it's an inward facing position.
A little bit, yeah. I think that's a great way to put it. Perfect.
The traffic cop, he's got to be in charge of,
right,
who's, in other words, it can't get out of hand,
right?
Which it could,
right? So I, you know, I understand that they're really well funded. I'll be curious to kind of see going forward if, you know, everything is funneled through the one collective of 1890, which I think is well funded, or, you know, certainly there's conversation about, well, you know, now they've taken on basketball, you know, men's basketball. If you go to their website, I went to their website last week. It is a more of a football, volleyball presence. So it makes you kind of wonder, you know, how things are going with the basketball team. But mm-hmm. I've kind of been assured, no, it's NIL is pretty good at Nebraska. Of course, it's not as good as it is at West Virginia, because West Virginia has been able to get a ton of basketball players who if those four guys, if you compared the four guys that West Virginia has added to the four guys that Nebraska has added, you'd take the guys from West Virginia. You would. And some of that is because of the money, I think, that they've been able to sort of push to the table on NIL. Evan, do you get a sense that, you know, that there's an innovation that Nebraska still has around the corner that they're going to be able to leverage, or some aspect? Because they were ahead of the game when they started this process. It feels like some other schools are, if they haven't caught up, or at least not, you know, completely incompetent in this this arena.
Yeah, I mean, my sense was always that their edge was the education piece and being innovative, and their relationship with Open Doors gave them a head start. But I think, like in so many ways at Nebraska over the last few decades, like that edge sort of eroded as everybody else caught up and maybe put more resources behind it, more commitment to it, bigger population base, that sort of thing. The thing that I was wondering with NIL is, like, okay, so we're 2 years in. Is there, like, momentum or lack of momentum at different schools because of it? Like, for example, Nebraska's had NIL now for 2 years. They've been rattling the jars for fans and donors. And what's the payoff really been? They haven't seen one yet. But you look at some other schools 2 years into NIL, that's transformed the game for them in what they've been able to add to different sports, how that's impacted their on-field success. I just wonder if that's some of the kind of lack of momentum right now. It's like, if you're a big donor and you're shelling out five or six figures to guys, and we've seen what the on-field returns have been.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just feel like there's, you almost need to see that result, and then that can sort of get the momentum going. But it's sort of a chicken and the egg thing, it feels like.
Well, that's a good point. But one of those donors are used to if go out and buy a new car. Well, I don't like this one. I'll go buy another one, or I'll go buy my wife this one. Maybe, and then I'll get that one to my daughter, and so on and so forth. And that's kind of how they roll. If this one doesn't work out, I'll go buy another one. So I'll go buy another player. So but what they didn't have the last 2 years was a coaching staff that was going to take care of the people they brought in. Mm. This is two worlds colliding. This is Matt Rhule is not about outbidding and buying. He's about developing. So again, he's got to create this world of Nebraska football where they develop and they grow and you become something. And you're sort of there's a sort of this inner fulfillment that way, colliding with the world of instant gratification. We're going to buy a guy and we're going to win right now. So you got to have a little both, and so that's what we're going to see in the next couple of years here with Rhule. He's got to learn to play the game. He's new at this. I think his instincts are going to help him there, but. And the other thing is, Evan, you know, Nebraskans, by God, I've been here 30 years, but they're not about money. People in the state aren't impressed with money. There's people out West Omaha that might like it a little bit. But generally, people in Nebraska, the basketball has never been about money, never been about flash. You know, it's always been about the hard work stuff. So how do they come to grips with spending all this money on players? It's one thing to put it into the athletic department, and you see a giant building, and you see the locker room, and this and that, and you get a skybox. But you're right. When you put your money into something like as volatile as the stock market, you know, well, this guy might be good this week, but what if he has a crappy game? And I just threw $100,000 in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how am I going to feel? Well, all this stuff is interesting. And so, but again, Nebraska football is more about what Rule's doing. You know, the Nebraskans are more about what Rule's doing. But by God, people love the hot new, they love the new toys. They love the next, what's next, who's next. They love the backup quarterback, you know, all that stuff. So, I think there's a lot of worlds colliding right now. And I think, I do agree with what Blake told me. Nebraska is in a good place. I think they're one of the leaders. Maybe not in money spent, but certainly in how you do it. I think they're always going to be on the cutting edge of how you do it. But will they spend with Texas and Ohio State? Probably not. Could they? Maybe. But that again, it's not the Nebraska style to do that. So, I really like the. I go to again. This is the Husker Hour, but the Creighton format really works for them. All five starters get the same amount, and then if they can make more on the side, they do, and that's not a bad way to go.
That's a good point. Let's move to hoops. Speaking of transfers, Nebraska has four. The fourth one was Josiah Alec. He hasn't officially signed, but he committed yesterday, the North Star grad. The other three have signed. So Nebraska doesn't screw around with that. They sign them really fast. Rink Mast, obviously, with Bradley. Bryce Williams, the Charlotte transfer. Aaron Ulis, the Iowa transfer. And Josiah Alec, who is transferring from New Mexico but played three seasons at UMKC. And is a Lincoln North Star grad. I think they're better in the front court right now. They got better in the front court than they got better in the back court, and I don't know if that's good or bad. I think right now they've got Mast, who can probably account for 75% of what Derek Walker was doing, and 75% is a pretty good basketball player. And then they got Josiah Alec, and Josiah Alec's way better than the guy who transferred out. Like, he's a lot better. He's a fifth-year senior. He will add a lot to that room. He's an academic all-conference guy, really smart, tough, hard worker, average. And think about this. He's 6'8", and he's 240 pounds. I think he averaged something like 32 minutes a game at New Mexico. That's a lot for a guy that big. That's impressive. It means, A, you don't foul, and, B, you can really play basketball. So I think they've got some – I think they got better there. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I was – did they get better? I mean, did they hold serve? they lost a couple of really, Walker and Sam Riesel. I mean, they lost some really stout guys, older guys. So are they at least the same? Or did they get better? I don't know. I'm not sure that they got better, but can they be the same? Which was kind of put them right in that NIT range. Maybe the NCAA bubble, if they want a few more. To me, right now, it's about Tominaga. If he comes back, he gives them something that they had last year that nobody else had, and nobody knew how to defend.
Right.
And I'm not sure you're ever going to catch up to him, because he's really got a unique game, and I think Fred knows how to use him in ways that. You could try to defend it, but then there's going to be something else you can do. So if they have him, they have a chance at something next year.
Yeah.
If they don't have him, I don't know how they got better.
Well, I think they'll get him back. I when you say better, I think you could answer that question affirmatively. because, again, I think Mass can approximate what Walker did. But Josiah Alec is a good player. Like, he's good. He'll be one of the better players on the team, in my opinion. You know, now it might only look like 8 points and 5.5 rebounds, but in the Big Ten, that's a pretty good player. And again, the guys he's replacing, he wasn't a factor. Now, that assumes that no one else transfers. Now, if somebody else transfers, then Nebraska's got to try to figure that out. People can still go in the portal. It's possible. So you're watching to see if that happens. The question is, did they get better in a way that they get better enough that next year they don't have to win 20 games by the cunning of the coach? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes what you need is so many good players that, like, you kind of
–
you don't have to be – you can win 20 games and you don't have to, like – you don't have to shoot the moon, so to speak, like, Fred, you know, in a game of hearts.
Well, he's not going to out-cunning too many guys. Fred's a good coach, but there's a lot of good coaches in the Big Ten.
But so, you know what I mean? Like, you win a bunch of four-point games over and over again. Like, Doc Sadler had a season like that where he was able to kind of chisel it out and – they still went to the NIT. Like, I feel like Nebraska's got to get to a point where at some point all of these awesome facilities that they have and all the things they're able to offer gets players in the door who are like, they're just game changers. And then Bryce McGowan's was kind of that, but they need two or three of them. Like, if you look at Creighton's roster, Creighton has those players. They just do.
I really like Juwan Gary. I really want what he they've got to have him back. I think he's healthy. I think
they'll get him back.
Healthy. He's a guy that he can guard a lot of people in the Big Ten. Other winning scorers. He has a little offense. He's just a guy who's in the right place at the right time a lot. And he's kind of a pain in the butt guy for the other coach. I really like having him. He's not one of the hot names or whatever, but he's really I like glue guys. I like guys who play defense and are going to rebound and do all the little stuff. The Emmanuel character, and he is a character. Boy, they're going to miss him.
Yeah.
He was very underrated. So, again, I it's something to be better. They've got to score more, or at least as much. I think Tomanaga gives them that chance to be better. Without him, it's a wait and see.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think what I would say right now is their lineup situation is such that you look at it and you're like, okay, Rick Mass is going to start. And if Casey comes back, Casey's going to start. After that, I don't exactly know. Like, I assume you're signing Aaron Ulis to be the starting point guard, but is Jamarcus Lawrence a better player? He might be, you know. Bryce Williams, you're probably bringing him in to start, but what about Juwan Gary? Like, if you start Bryce Williams, can you start Juwan Gary? And I think Josiah Alec needs to be a starter. But if you do that, then what, you know, is Wilhelm Breidenbach comfortable coming off the bench? And is that what they, so all those questions, like they have a, I think the players, what would have been great is if they would have been able to sign, because they were able to offer him the money, Kerr Kriisa, which they weren't able to do. And everybody's like, okay, he's the point guard. So we don't have to worry about who the point guard is because he's the point guard. And now everybody else forms a line around that. And I don't know that the guy they signed on Monday is necessarily that guy. Mm. Like, I think Jamarcus Lawrence could average more assists than Aaron Ulis. And it's not that Aaron Ulis is – he's a defender. He's physical. He's 6'3", 190. He knows the Big Ten. He can probably come in and help you out a little bit. He's kind of like a Bakari Evelyn maybe, something like that. But I don't know that I would describe him as like, okay, this guy's going to come in and everybody knows the point guard's going to be like they did last year with Sam Griesel. Like with Sam is like he's the point guard. I just don't know if that's this guy.
Hmm.
Hard to say.
Well, and I really want Lawrence. I want him shooting the ball.
Yeah, he's a good player.
So good.
Yeah.
And you need a sidekick. If you get Casey back, that, you know, everybody's on him. He throws it over to him, and bam. So
plus, Ulis was in the portal for 40 days.
Yeah.
So he wasn't, I mean, we need to be honest about how many teams were really interested.
Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect by any means, but...
I think it was Nebraska, or his older brother gets him kind of a spot on the on Kentucky's bench, because his older brother is Tyler Ulis, and he's a, you know, he is a assistant coach at Kentucky. So, and Tyler Ulis kind of knows Fred Hoiberg, and there's all kinds of stuff there. So it's not that big of a deal. But like when you read Fred Hoiberg's quote about Ulis, which came out today, let me try to find it here. It's I don't know what the right word is. Indicative. It's like Aaron is a player we've gotten to know well, having faced him five times over the last three seasons. And like he brings a lot of valuable Big Ten experience to our program. He possesses a very competitive defensive mindset. While offensively, he is a talented ball handler and playmaker who is good in transition. All these things are true. All these things are true. In 2022, when Iowa won the Big Ten tournament, he shared his team's top playmaker award. Like, I get it. This is a glue guy who can go and fit your defensive mindset.
That's not a bad thing to have.
No, it's not.
The more of those, the more of those, the better. But at some point, you know, you've got to make shots. And the more, they haven't had enough of those guys. And they certainly had a few of them last year. Again, the way Tomonaga came on in the second half of it, that just changed the season.
It did.
And you wonder what it had been like with that early schedule if he could have done that. So,
right, well.
You don't argue with it. You take it. And, again, I have not seen his name on any of the NBA mock drafts. I don't think he's going anywhere in the NBA next year. But that's not for me to say. It's for him to say. So we'll see what he says.
Mm-hmm. Move to baseball here at the end. Nebraska baseball playing tonight against North Dakota State.
I love your tone here. Yeah, okay. Ooh. Here we go.
Well, here we go. They did get another series win, their fourth of the year, Big Ten series win over Minnesota, which had really, really large M on the hat. I mean, you could have seen that thing from the moon. They look a little bit like a JV baseball. You know, I don't know. It was interesting.
It's a tough color combo, too.
It's an interesting look that they were busting out. Anyway, lovely day at the ballpark this weekend. Nebraska won 2 of 3. Now they go to Maryland, who is, are they number one?
Number one.
And they're also the best team.
Yeah. They're coming on. They're hot.
They aren't always the same. Those aren't always the same things in Big Ten baseball. They're number 23 in the country. What are you thinking here?
Don't get swept.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. Like, you're not... It's not about the RPI anymore. That ship has sailed. It's about making the Big Ten tournament. And like we said at the top, if they were to sweep Maryland, they'd pass them. They'd be probably near the top of the standings. If they get swept, they could be on the outside looking in the top eight in the Big Ten tournament.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
So as I've said before, like the magic number to make the tournament, and since it's been a 13-team baseball league, is 13. So that for Nebraska, which has 9 wins, they need to go 4-5 the rest of the way. And if you can take one against Maryland, then you're talking about, winning a couple of series against Penn State and Purdue. And those are not great baseball teams. So, you know, you just can't let the wheels fall off this weekend. It's kind of where
they can't miss the Big Ten tournament 2 years in a row, can they?
It's not impossible. Not likely. But like it's not impossible.
It would not be good.
That would not be good.
Yeah.
Top eight. That's the standard. To make the Big Ten tournament. I know Tom misses
that last weekend to Purdue. It scares me because they should handle Penn State at home, right?
You think.
But and you're right. They have to get something out of this weekend. But I just can see it coming. They have to go to Purdue to win 2 out of 3 at Purdue to make the tournament. I'm just so, oh, boy.
After Cancelgate last year kept them out of Omaha.
Yeah, their stadium sandwiched in between the golf course and the football stands, like downwind of Drew Brees Center.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they put their little baseball stadium. Well, it's not as nice as Smoot South.
Yeah, it's rough.
Evan, I mean, you know all the ins and outs of this program. If you told the average Husker baseball fan at the end of that NCAA regional at Arkansas that, you know, okay, here we go. It's all uphill from here. We're on our way. You told them 2 years later they're in a spot, wildly inconsistent.
Yeah.
Good talent, but still can't pitch enough. And they're just so up and down, losing the UNOs and South Dakota States and you know, on the Big Ten tournament bubble, I think people would have said there's no way in hell that was going to happen. So, to me, that I think they're I'm a big picture guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it like they seem to be they're getting farther away from being a regional team than they're getting closer to what they were 2 years ago. Mm. Is that accurate?
It feels like it sometimes, yeah. I mean, you're right. You think about the end of 21, they lose in that last game late to Arkansas, and it felt like anything was possible. They hired Rob Childress. That was a major off-field hire. And they start talking about even reimagining Haymarket Park. They were inspired by going to Baum Walker in Fayetteville about some of the things that stadium had, and they're like, hey, you know, let's start reimagining what the Haymarket experience could be like, and man, it'd be fun to host a regional and this and that. And you know, they lost some impact guys. And when I look at college baseball, like there's always going to be that top tier that reloads every year. But I think there's a bigger sort of middle class of teams where it forever it was like every 2 or 3 years you're going to make it, right? Your top guys are going to get drafted as juniors, and then it's going to be maybe a rebuilding year or two, and you're going to come back. And I think, you know, Nebraska certainly lost all those guys at once. The portal has been okay for them since then. It has not been great. It's been okay. And they just, you know, I always felt like, too, that the depth is the thing that sets apart the top teams. Like, you can go into Sunday or a midweek and just out-talent everybody. Nebraska's still not to that point. Their top-end guys are right up there with anybody. But I think it's been reflected on Sunday and certainly in the midweek that there's sort of a flattening of that curve when you're playing the South Dakota States, the North Dakota States.
I was on board. They beat Vandy. They're going to Michigan and get 2 out of 3. That was a great weekend. The Iowa one threw me for a loop. I'm going, and they just got waxed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going, oh, man. I just feel like what I expected out of Will Bolt, who I know is a very good coach, is to build a program that is going to show up all the time, and it doesn't have to be chewed out on the outfield huddle after the game, and it's going to be there. And I just feel like I wonder if we were maybe misled a little bit by that 1 year that he came in, he had to build some stuff. Now, he took over an NCAA regional program, but he was going to build it with his guys. They made that regional, but they had COVID. They lost that year. And then didn't they bring in a bunch of guys last year? And a lot of them did not work out. I mean,
yeah, guys so been hurt or yeah.
They ever got hurt. And so I feel like he's kind of had to flip the roster a little bit. So I don't know. Is it maybe it's still too soon? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
but it should be. I mean, it should be better, shouldn't it?
Yeah, they lost 20 plus departures last year to the portal or retirement or whatever. Yeah. They had one by eligibility. They had one senior last year, and they lost more than 20 guys and brought in some others. And it's been, you know, sort of stuck in neutral.
Bryce Matthews and Max Anderson are late first round, second round MLB picks. They're gonna go.
They are. Yep.
So you'll have a feature on them next week.
Mm-hmm.
It will functionally be their senior day. I don't know if they're going to be acknowledged by the crowd. They damn well ought to be.
They should be, yeah.
But they're probably going to go. So whatever happens with Nebraska baseball, they're probably not going to have the services of those two guys next year.
Right.
And they're two of the better players really in the last 20 years. I mean, mm-hmm. they're having two of the better seasons of really anybody. And so, like, you know, we're getting down to the stretch here. And we'll see what they are able to do. If they get to Omaha again, they're going to have a huge home field advantage.
Yes.
They could get hot.
They've got those two big boppers.
Right.
I can set a tone. You get a little roll.
Right.
Absolutely.
They're the one team that doesn't have to stay in a hotel. They can stay at home. But if they don't get there, man, that's – well, the Big Ten will be annoyed, but man – Got to figure that out. All right. For Tom and Evan, I'm Sam. This is the Pick Six Podcast for this week. We'll be back next week to talk about some. I don't know if there's going to be a ton of football, but there'll definitely be baseball. Take care, guys.